Absolutely.
I apologize about that. John, I want to thank you for taking time coming in. You had a little trip to this part of West Texas. This morning you were in Fort Davis and then in Marfa for lunch.
Absolutely. It's a pleasure to be on the radio with you, Martin. And again, to be out here in the Tri-County area, meeting voters, talking to them about what they see as their biggest needs in the area, especially for rural communities like the ones out here. So it's been a real blessing to be out here and see some beautiful parts of Texas that I have never seen before.
It is very nice out here, very scenic. And you live in San Antonio, is that correct?
Yes, sir. Born and raised.
Tell the folks a little bit about yourself. I know you were a Marine, but you are a Marine. And tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, sure. I was raised in San Antonio, Texas, in a working-class family. My mother and father, Johnny and Gloria, still to this day, work every hour of overtime their employer allows them. But my story begins, as you said, when I raised my hand as a 17-year-old senior and took the oath of enlistment to join in the United States Marine Corps. That planted, in a lot of ways, the seed of service in me. I was deployed to the front lines of Iraq in 2003 for the launch of Operation Iraqi Freedom. Then went back in 2005 as a reservist, actually served with the current congressman, Ruben Gallego. We were actually in the same unit together. So the Marines gave me a uniquely governmental job as an intelligence analyst, and I used my GI Bill to build on that because I wanted to continue serving my country.
Well,
so,
you tell you what, you did a great job in serving, and we're very proud to have you on here, and thank you for your service in the Marines. And what made you decide to go into politics?
Well, I think, again, after getting my education, I went to Washington, D.C., the front lines of public policy, to continue to serve. And there I supported governmental leaders. I supported elected and appointed leaders and national policy. I was trusted to run veterans organizations nationally and write national legislation. So when Will Hurd announced his retirement in 2019, this was my hometown district, and I knew the importance of it and the significance of it here in Texas and even in the country. So I wanted to see I wanted to leverage these experiences to help support my neighbors out here in West Texas.
Well, you have a large district. It goes from San Antonio to Husbeth County, is that correct, or Culberson County?
All the way to El Paso County.
All the way to El Paso, okay.
29 total counties in this, one of the largest districts in the country.
You do have one of the largest, and you have, with Brewster County in it, that is the largest county in the state. Not maybe the most populated, but a lot of rural areas. And being out in a rural area, it's a lot different than the San Antonio area, for certain. And if you were elected, what can people in the rural counties expect?
One, they could expect a partner. Somebody who understands the rural nature and the rural needs of rural America, of rural Texas. Somebody that understands our traditions, our values, you know. And so you mentioned Uvalde earlier, but, you know, this is a piece of, you know, a part of the region that is familiar with carrying firearms, you know. It might be more convenient to it, might be more used to it than other places, especially more urban places. So I think they get a partner in me. I think they get somebody who understands the rural needs of West Texas. You know, this is a very diverse place. These communities are very old. They have their own unique history, their own unique personality, their own unique landmarks. And you've got to respect that and offer an honest handshake, whether red or blue, left or right. It's more to me about who's up and who's down.
Well, and do you think you can work with the opposing party in getting things done?
I will work with anybody who wants to improve the lives and the living standards of their families and of their neighbors and of their communities. So absolutely. Absolutely. And I plan to, that's why we're traveling this large district. We've launched the Boots on the Ground tour to hit 29 counties in the 29 weeks leading up to the election. In reality, we're going to loop the district a couple of times. But I'm out here to meet people where they are and have honest conversations with them.
Well, have you been impressed with what you've seen out here so far?
Oh, absolutely. First, the scenic landscape is just something I was just a bit, you know, taken aback by. I was not prepared for the raw beauty of it all. But the people that I've met, I mean, they're some of the most genuine folks than you could ever meet. I mean, I hear stories of how they choose to live here. You know, they come here from other parts of the state, other parts of the country to retire here in this natural beauty, in this quiet life. And, you know, they want to see this area thrive as well. So they have some unique needs and concerns that they feel have gone unaddressed.
Well, and that in the past, a lot of times that has happened, you know, being that we are so far away from the metropolitan areas and smaller rural areas, a lot of times the voters out here feel like they're forgotten. And that's one thing that well, we don't want to have happen.
Absolutely. And I can tell you, I've heard the same stories. But, you know, me being from San Antonio, which is the far east of the district, my wife is from actually El Paso County, El Paso, the city. So between her and I, we have the district bookmark. I like to say there's nothing but love in between the middle between El Paso and San Antonio.
Well, hopefully she'll have reasons for you to come out here and go through to go to from San Antonio to El Paso. That would be wonderful. Let's bring up the subject of Uvalde. It's in your district to begin with, and the country has their eyes on that district right now. What do you think the government can do to prevent another tragedy like that?
I think the government has a responsibility to make sure that these firearms that we are constitutionally allowed to possess do not fall into the wrong hands of our children and of the criminally, the criminally insane in a lot of ways. Folks, they want to understand. I think that there needs to be a baseline standards for carrying firearms and what type of firearms could be carried. I mean, we do not want scenes like we had in Uvalde where an 18-year-old cannot wait to get that high-velocity, high-powered, semi-automatic weapon so that he can do maximum damage, and the signs were there in a lot of places with the family, with a couple of other his friends, and even with that, we were still unable to stop it. So, red flag laws absolutely are important tools for the community to try to prevent this as well.
Well, when I know that there's discussions going on to have a bipartisan bill to address this issue. But one of the things that seems almost impossible to get through is a ban on assault weapons and also changing the age from 18 to 21. I know you're a defender of the Second Amendment, but how do you see that playing out?
I don't see it as impossible. I think in America, everything can happen. We're a nation that has outlawed alcohol at one point, and we're a nation that has outlawed assault weapons at one point. So I don't think anything is completely impossible. I do think that there are major forces out there trying to prevent that. But I think there's plenty of bipartisan agreement on easy things like the bipartisan background checks, like the red flag laws, like banning some of the high capacity magazines and the bump stocks that turn an average rifle into a machine gun, essentially.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of agreement there. But again, we're going up against large, well-financed organizations and sources and entities that will do all they can to prevent those changes from happening.
Well, it seems every time there's an incident, and as I mentioned to you off the air, we had our own here in Alpine. There's a lot of talk, and a lot of times just nothing seems to get done. We keep on hoping that every time that this horrible situation happens, that something will get done, and we're hoping that maybe this particular time something will get done. From what I hear on the national news, the folks are working at it, but sometimes I feel like they're trying to get the minimum done and not the maximum done. But I guess we have to start somewhere.
Absolutely. And I think that, I don't quote the former President Donald Trump too often, but a lot of Republicans and politicians in general are afraid of the gun lobby. They do provide a lot of resources for candidates and for campaigns, and they don't want to lose that funding as well. But I'll tell you what, the what was very promising was the Republicans out of Dallas who wrote penned a letter to the Dallas Morning News, who they themselves called for responsible gun safety legislation, and they're willing to hold back their financial contributions to elect representatives who want to enact those same laws as them. So I think there has been a sea change. I mean, the rising tide of gun violence and of mass shootings, especially using...
When it hits home, when it hits your own district, it's different, and people are concerned. So I'm glad to hear that you're optimistic that things can get done, and hopefully they can be. As far as immigration's at an all-time high, and this being in a rural area, ranchers feel they need to protect themselves. How do you feel guns play a role in that portion? Do you think?
Yeah, I think that, ranchers absolutely have an obligation and a right to protect their property and their families. They've probably been doing it since any gun laws have ever been passed here in Texas. It's kind of that cultural thing to protect one's property. But I think the important thing to let ranchers know is that nobody's trying to take any guns. This is all about saving lives. I'm sure if you ask ranchers, they may have a child or a grandchild who goes to the local elementary school. And you're right. They don't want to see that tragedy happen here in their backyard or their church or their local shopping center. So I think we got to break it down to them. This is not about taking guns whatsoever. It's about keeping guns out of the wrong hands. And I think any American, any Second Amendment lover would appreciate that.
Well, I'm glad you said that because, you know, I too believe the Second Amendment there does exist for a reason and we should have it. But it's not a be-all to end-all. And sometimes things have to be changed and amended. And we'll see what happens. As far as economic development, this is a rural area out here, and we all like to have an increased quality of life. Mm-hmm. Do you see any policies you think that might increase our quality of life out here while still keeping our same sense of living, you know, without, you know, bringing in factories, which aren't going to happen because we don't have the number of employees? But are there any kind of economic development policies that you see for rural areas?
Yeah, I think. Thank you for mentioning that. I think that the recently passed bipartisan infrastructure bill can absolutely do just that. Not only can they fix these roads that probably haven't been improved and repaired since they were built, but that fires up, you know, that fires up tractors, that fires up construction jobs, good-paying construction jobs. So that's one area. Texas is poised to get about $38 billion. Into the state from that bipartisan infrastructure bill, a bipartisan bill that my opponent, Tony Gonzalez, voted against, by the way. But other areas, you know, we have Blue Origin in the district, and that is a sign of some of the space. You know, we have large, expansive spaces, and we can play a role in aerospace technology. You know, we have 3 Air Force bases in Texas 23 alone, and these are also good-paying jobs, and we can fly planes over our big blue Texas skies and be a center and a hub for aerospace as well. Also for solar and renewable energy production as well. These can also bring good jobs. They could also move families in, not as intrusive. And also, while we think about smart growth, and this is what I'm traveling around the communities because I want the communities to grow at their pace. You know, I don't want an Amazon plant to come in and completely upend all the resources in the community. And like you said, you might not have the workforce for it and you might not have the housing for it. So I'm going and I'm talking to mayors and judges and commissioners and city council members about what does smart growth look like for them. You know, it's not a one-size-fits-all.
No, every community is different in control, Ruth. One thing I got to tell you, I'm really happy that on a lot of your answers, I hear you mention the word bipartisan. And I would love to hear that because we seem mm-hmm. like we're in a situation now where it's us against them, regardless of what party you're affiliated to. And mm-hmm. you seem to be wanting some bipartisanship.
Absolutely. You know, I like to tell folks I'm not running to be part of the mob or the squad. You know, I'm running to represent Texas values. And Texas values don't fit in a nice little perfect political agenda or political platform. So I want everybody that I meet out here in this big, huge, expansive district, left or right, will get an honest handshake from me, will get an honest conversation with me. If they want to elevate the quality of life for their family, their neighbors, and their communities, they have an honest partner in me in doing so.
Well, listen, I want to tell you, I appreciate very much you taking the time coming in here. At 5 o'clock this afternoon, you're going to be down at West Texas Italian Deli over on Holland Avenue from 5 to 7. People will be able to come and meet and greet you, and we're looking forward to that. Everything went well in Marfa today?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Actually, we brought in some decent weather with us from San Antonio. There was a nice breeze out there.
Boy, if you came last week or this past weekend where we had 3 days in a row of 100 degrees, and I know San Antonio, it's been pretty hot recently too, but the country's suffering from a little bit of a heat wave right now. So thank you if you had anything at all to do with bringing cooler weather. Now we just need a little bit more rain if you could arrange that.
Yeah, I'm going to talk to my folks up in San Antonio. We'll see what we can bring down here for you.
Well, John, I want to thank you for coming in. I know you're a busy person, and I apologize for not saying the U.S. representative of the District 23, not the state. And good luck in your campaign, and hopefully that if whether you get elected or not, hopefully you'll still come out to West Texas.
Absolutely.
Be more familiar with it. So if especially if you win, because we want you to take care of us out here. And if you don't win, well, I want you to still come out here and enjoy what we have and keep coming out here.
Thank you, Martin. It's been very, very grateful to meet the folks and talk with the folks that I've talked with out here, to meet the folks. And absolutely, this is a beautiful place, beautiful piece of earth that is out here in West Texas. I think it's the best kept secret, besides Marfa. Somebody let the secret out on Marfa. But the whole region is a very well kept secret of beauty. And it's just very fortunate, and it would be an honor of a lifetime to represent this beautiful piece of earth and the fabulous people in it.
Well, John, again, I want to thank you for spending the time coming in. I know you're a busy fella. Good luck on your campaign. Good luck in the 29 counties in 29 weeks. And we'll be hearing all about you come November.
I'll be back anytime, Martin. Thank you so much.
You got an open door here, my friend.
All right. Thank you.
All right. We've been visiting with John Lehrer, who is the U.S. Representative for District 23 in the Democratic Party for the election in November. Remember to be sure to register and be sure to vote, because it's your vote that makes the difference. We're going to go back to music and right after this message from Alpine Christian School.